You're listening to the Wednesday Morning After Show with your host, Sheila Ferrando, on CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal, or worldwide at ckut.ca.
Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The Quarantine Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Biden has raised the cap on the number of refugees admitted to the United States to 62,500 this year. The president's announcement comes after weeks of backlash from refugee rights groups and some Democrats who condemn Biden's previous decision to keep the Trump-era refugee cap of 15,000 a record low. Biden also ended Trump's restrictions on refugees from Syria, Yemen, and Somalia, and added more slots for refugees from Central America, Africa, and the Middle East. Rights groups applauded Biden's move, as it's expected it could pave the way for the U.S. to raise its cap to Biden's original campaign promise of 125,000 refugees by the next fiscal year. However, President Biden admitted Monday the U.S. would likely not be able to reach either target this year or next due to the pandemic and roadblocks in the resettlement process, which Biden attributes to the Trump administration. The humanitarian group World Relief said last month the Biden administration's claims it needed to fully rebuild the refugee resettlement process were, quote, a completely false narrative and a purely political calculation, they said. Only about 2,000 refugees were resettled in the U.S. between October and March. In more immigration news, four parents from Honduras, Guatemala, and Mexico will be reunited with their children in the U.S. after being separated under former President Trump's zero-tolerance policy. They're the first families to be reunited on U.S. soil since the Biden administration began its reunification process. At least two of the mothers have been separated from their children since 2017. The Biden administration has initially agreed to reunite 35 parents with their children out of more than 1,000 youths who remain separated. The immigrant justice group, Al Otro Lado, in English, the other side, said the Homeland Security Department had done nothing to facilitate the return of the four parents. It was Al Otro Lado which negotiated their travel visas, paid for their airline tickets, and arranged the reunification. In a statement, the group said, quote, these mothers have been waiting in danger in Mexico for over 3 years. We represent over 30 other parents who, like these mothers, were ready for return on day one of the Biden presidency. There is no reason, other than lack of political will, for DHS to make these families undergo even one more day of separation and torture, they said. India reported another 357,000 new coronavirus cases and nearly 3,500 deaths Tuesday, as India's total caseload during the pandemic passed 20 million. A critical shortage of oxygen showed no signs of abating, with residents turning to social media to appeal for oxygen canisters for sick relatives and friends. Meanwhile, long lines at crematoriums and overflowing hospitals across India suggest the government is vastly underreporting the extent of India's crisis. This is a worker at a crematorium in India's capital, New Delhi.
People have to wait for at least 5 to 7 hours before getting a chance to cremate the bodies. The bodies are not even being cremated properly because there are only 4 to 5 priests who are performing the rituals. Although, as you can see, the bodies are being cremated rapidly, there is still a long queue of ambulances carrying bodies of COVID-19 victims outside the crematorium.
India's COVID crisis has spilled into neighboring Nepal, which reported a record one-day high of daily infections Tuesday. Nepal's army began cremating the remains of COVID victims in open areas of Kathmandu after temples and crematoriums ran out of space. Nepal's Ministry of Health has issued an urgent appeal for millions of vaccine doses, calling the crisis unmanageable. South America's COVID crisis shows little sign of abating. Argentina's total caseload reached 3 million this week, with many intensive care units and hospital beds filled to capacity. In Brazil, where COVID-19 has caused 1 in 3 deaths this year, officials have begun delaying appointments for second doses of vaccines amid shortages. The Biden administration is under increasing pressure to support a waiver of patent rights for COVID-19 vaccines as the World Trade Organization prepares to meet Wednesday and Thursday. Dozens of countries from the global south, led by India and South Africa, are pushing for a waiver to allow countries to ramp up production, vaccinate more people, and bring the pandemic to an end sooner. On Monday, the head of the World Health Organization said a WTO rule allowing for a temporary suspension of intellectual property rights was written to specifically address global emergencies like the pandemic.
The provision of waiving IP was meant for this condition, for emergencies, and this is unprecedented.
On Monday, Moderna said it would make 500 million doses of its vaccine available to poorer countries beginning late this year. Kate Elder, senior vaccines policy advisor for Doctors Without Borders, welcomed Moderna's announcement, but noted the vast bulk of the doses are scheduled for 2022. She tweeted, "Doses are needed now." The United States reported fewer than 50,000 coronavirus cases on Monday as the 7-day average of new infections fell to its lowest level since October. Hospitalizations and deaths are continuing a slow decline. In Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis suspended the last of Florida's COVID-19 restrictions Monday after signing a bill that will allow him to overrule local emergency orders. New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut said Monday they would roll back most COVID restrictions on May 17th. New York City's subway will return to 24-hour service, with restaurants, museums, theaters, gyms, and retail outlets set to expand services. Meanwhile, the New York Times reports the Food and Drug Administration is preparing to authorize emergency use of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for children ages 12 to 15 by early next week. In North Carolina, Andrew Brown Jr. was laid to rest Monday amidst growing questions over why sheriff's deputies opened fire on him, shot him to death on April 21st. Brown was a 42-year-old black father from Elizabeth City who was shot 5 times by officers serving an arrest warrant. One bullet struck Brown in the back of his head. Brown's family has only seen a 20-second snippet of police body camera video, which they say shows Brown had his hands on the steering wheel of his car when he was killed. On Monday, the Reverend Al Sharpton delivered the eulogy at Andrew Brown's funeral.
I know a con game when I see it. Release the whole tape and let the folk see what happened to Andrew Brown. This must stop. Enough is enough. How many funerals do we have to have before we tell the Congress and the Senate that you've got to do something in these times?
President Joe Biden began a nationwide tour Monday to promote his $4 trillion infrastructure plan, saying it's time for corporations and the wealthiest households to start paying their fair share of taxes. Biden spoke from a community college in Norfolk, Virginia.
I come from the corporate capital of the world. More corporations are incorporated in the state of Delaware than all the rest of the nation combined. And I'm not anti-corporate. But it's about time they start paying their fair share.
The Environmental Protection Agency moved Monday to phase out the use of hydrofluorocarbons, highly potent greenhouse gases commonly used in refrigerants. The EPA's plan calls for an 85% reduction in the use of the chemicals over the next 15 years. Climate scientists say a rapid phase out of hydrofluorocarbons worldwide would help prevent a global temperature rise of 0.5 degrees Celsius by the end of the century. In West Virginia, a landmark trial kicked off in federal court Monday as local governments seek accountability from drug companies over the opioid crisis. The city of Huntington and Cabell County in West Virginia are seeking over $1 billion from the nation's 3 largest drug distributors, McKesson, AmerisourceBergen, and Cardinal Health. Plaintiffs say the companies flooded their communities with addictive pain medications despite their known dangers, causing a public nuisance and fueling the country's devastating opioid epidemic, which has claimed hundreds of thousands of lives. If the case is successful, it could have major implications for thousands of similar lawsuits around the country brought by cities, counties, Native American tribes, and other plaintiffs. In Colombia, the family of 17-year-old Marcelo Agredo is demanding justice after a police officer fatally shot the boy while he joined a protest against the government's proposed tax reforms last week. New disturbing video shows Agredo kicking an officer, then running away as the officer draws a pistol and shoots the teen in the back. Agredo was at the march with his brother. His father's a retired taxi driver. At least 19 people have been killed and hundreds more wounded during the days-long demonstrations. Massive protests continue even after Colombian President Iván Duque withdrew the planned tax reforms as anger mounts against his right-wing government and worsening poverty, unemployment and inequity in Colombia. In El Salvador, rights groups are warning of a worsening political crisis after the Salvadoran Legislative Assembly, which is controlled by the political party of President Nayib Bukele, voted to unseat 5 Supreme Court justices. The Salvadoran Attorney General has also been dismissed. The Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador, or CISPES, is calling their ousting illegal and an assault on democratic institutions. Other Salvadoran groups condemned the move.
We categorically condemn this coup d'etat endorsed by President Bukele and executed by lawmakers of the New Ideas Party and other parties, who through the co-optation of justice are trying to consummate an unquestionable authoritarian political project in which all powers respond to a single person.
In response, CISPES is demanding the U.S. withdraw funding for the Salvadoran military and police and to stop sending aid that they argue only benefits the economic interests of the corrupt elite. In Mexico City, at least 23 people were killed and dozens more injured Monday night after a subway overpass collapsed while a train was passing over it. 2 subway cars were left dangling precariously from the ruined bridge. Rescue operations were halted overnight while authorities brought in a crane to help stabilize the wreckage. Local residents had reported cracks in the bridge after a powerful earthquake in 2017. Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz is under fire for threatening to punish corporations whose CEOs have spoken out against voter suppression efforts like Georgia's recently passed election law. In a recent Wall Street Journal op-ed headlined, "Your woke money is no good here," Senator Cruz writes, quote, "This time we won't look the other way on Coca-Cola's $12 billion in back taxes owed. This time, when Major League Baseball lobbies to preserve its multi-billion dollar antitrust exception, we'll say no thank you," he said. Walter Schaub, the former director of the Office of Government Ethics, responded, "This may be the most openly corrupt thing any senator has said." Republican lawmakers in Kansas have failed to enact legislation that would have banned transgender athletes from participating in girls and women's sports. Monday's 26-14 vote by the Kansas State Senate was one vote shy of the two-thirds majority needed to override Democratic Governor Laura Kelly's veto. Similar anti-trans bills have recently become law in Alabama, Arkansas, Idaho, Mississippi, Tennessee, and West Virginia. And the transgender community is mourning the loss of ballroom legend and activist Jahaira D'Alto, who was fatally stabbed in Boston Sunday. She was 43 years old. D'Alto belonged to the House of Balenciaga, which said in a statement, quote, "Let us not forget her ongoing work against domestic abuse and continue to uplift her name and ensure her memory lives on in this ironic twist of fate," they wrote. Jahaira D'Alto was also a caregiver for other members of the trans community. Last year, on Mother's Day, she wrote on Twitter, quote, "I am the mother who raised the children whose rainbow sparkled too brightly and blinded their birth moms. I cherish what they discarded, for their babies who still needed raising I did that, she said. Delta was at least the 21st trans person to be killed in the U.S. in 2021, with activists worrying this year is on track to become the deadliest for trans people. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The Quarantine Report. When we come back, we'll be joined by the acclaimed Haitian filmmaker Raoul Peck to talk about his new stunning documentary series, Exterminate All the Brutes. It's about colonialism, white supremacy, genocide, and more.
The alert level in your region or a neighboring region is red. To curb the spread of COVID-19, gatherings with family and friends in private homes and yards are prohibited. Travel between regions should be avoided, and traveling to yellow zones is forbidden. It's forbidden to leave your home between 9:30 p.m. and 5 a.m. Visit quebec.ca/coronavirus to learn more about the other measures in place. Follow all the rules, all the time, no exceptions. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday, there will be rain and a high of 13 degrees Celsius. Thursday will be mainly sunny with a high of 12 degrees Celsius. Friday, there will be the chance of a shower and a high of 12 degrees Celsius. Saturday will be cloudy with showers and a high of 12 degrees Celsius. Sunday, there will be a chance of a shower and a high of 13 degrees Celsius. Monday will be cloudy with showers and a high of 13. Tuesday, there will be a chance of a shower and a high of 14 degrees Celsius. Well, that wraps up the show. Keep listening to CKUT.
Come down. echoes of the hills. You can hear the blue jay's song and the stream sustains the sound like the memory. Trees may whisper gentler too, as we watch the storm clouds gather over pastures wet with dew.
Pousse-toi une paire de couilles, cher capitaine, tu vas la perdre. Tu dis que c'est elle qui devrait s'en pousser, ben moi je dis que c'est les ailes qu'elle devrait considérer. Depuis qu'on est jeune, la leçon répétée, c'est de pas s'en prendre au plus faible que soi. Elle est insécure et t'en a profité pour la rendre plus insécure que toi. Pousse-toi une paire de couilles, cher capitaine. Quoi ce calvaire? Elle a beau pas te dire un mot, t'es en train de la noyer tête première. Et ses poumons sont pleins d'eau, pourtant elle se plaint pas parce qu'elle pense que tu vas piger. Quand t'es dans sa tête sous l'eau, tu finiras par la tuer. Pis j'ai vain cette peur, mais Chris, mon capitaine, va mettre ton orgueil de côté. Pousse-toi une paire de couilles, pis accepte que t'as exagéré. J'ai bien que t'as peur, mais Chris, mon capitaine, on met ton orgueil de côté. Pousse-toi une paire de couilles, pis accepte que t'as exagéré. Pousse-toi une paire de couilles, cher capitaine, avant que ce soit trop tard. Hop donc pour la franchise, ça vous fera moins mal des deux bords. Oh non, et pas stupide, puis ça sera pas long avant qu'elle découvre la vérité. Crée-moi donc cette journée-là, mon capitaine, t'auras plus de couilles à te faire pousser. Parce que si je comprends bien, mon capitaine, vas-tu le mener en bateau? Sans même prendre la peine d'y dire que ta flotte apprenait l'eau. Puis près que mon mère affrontait les ouragans, ben vous êtes rentrés au port. L'aventure, elle était belle, ma chère, mais l'amour lui était mort. C'est les mots que t'aurais dû prononcer avant de la ramener au bord de ta flotte destinée à caler au fond de l'océan. Mais t'avais pas les couilles à le faire. Ouais, check, toi ben mon grand, t'as déclaré la guerre à une femme des plus faibles, mais à l'esprit le plus fort. Bien le beau être naïf, son cœur est bon, puis elle en a mort de toutes tes hosties de conneries. Hop, la guerre est déclarée, la guerre est déclarée, la guerre est déclarée, la guerre est déclarée. La guerre est déclarée, mon capitaine. La guerre est déclarée, la guerre est déclarée, la guerre est déclarée, la guerre est déclarée. Je t'envoie chier, mon capitaine.
Vaccination against COVID-19 is now underway for priority groups. Visit quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine to follow the vaccination sequence planned for your area and book your appointment online. If necessary, you can also call 1-877-644-4545. Once you've been vaccinated, it's important to continue to protect yourself by following the basic health guidelines. The vaccine, a safe way to protect ourselves. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Of the mind of man. There is an adjuvant in all of us, quiet and perfect, hushed all of us. There is a feminine inside of us, part queen, part prisoner, part us.
Outcast, outcast, all of you. that you're part of us. You think you're moral, but you're just messed up. You judge your souls, you tell us what to do. Haters, leave us alone, won't you? You. We'll be right back.
Did you get vaccinated?
Not yet, but I will soon.
And which one are you getting?
I'm getting the dance vaccine.
The dance vaccine? Great idea.
Yeah, rehearsing with the girls is what I miss the most.
Well, it's going to be the soccer vaccine for me. I can't wait to see the gang again.
Each vaccination brings us closer to these moments. Follow the vaccination sequence planned for your area and book an appointment at quebec.ca/COVID vaccine. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Quebec, vaccination against COVID-19 is underway, but not everybody is protected yet. Even if you've been vaccinated, you still need to respect basic health measures, like wearing a mask, maintaining social distancing, and washing your hands regularly. You must also get tested if you have symptoms and follow self-isolation guidelines. Find out about the measures in place at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Follow all the health guidelines, all the time, no exceptions. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
The 37th Festival International de Musique Actuelle de Victoriaville, a must for safe live arts, May 17th to 23rd, 2021. Concerts, sound art installations in public spaces, experimental short films, and visual arts. For a safe event of living arts, let's meet in Victo May 17th to 23rd. Details and tickets for the 37th FIMAV at www.fimav.qc.ca. That's www.fimav.qc.ca.
Starts now.